Welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source grassroots community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of this show is Life and Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. This show provides practical, general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. It's useful to get some notebook, paper, and pen to take notes during the show. The next series of shows I'd like to embark upon is All Your Worth, The Ultimate Lifetime Money Plan, which I have spent time on years ago, but which I feel is something we need to revisit in light of the challenges in our economy. The book, All Your Worth, is by Elizabeth Warren, who most of you know about now. She is a senator from Massachusetts, the first female senator from that state, and she has been a very important person in dealing with many debt issues, credit card issues, and issues to help the middle class in particular at the governmental level in the last few years. But before that, as a writer and scholar, a professor at Harvard University. She has a number of books, and All Your Worth was written with her daughter, Amelia Warren Tiagi. What I will follow for the most part is her book, All Your Worth, as the textbook in this series. We ended the last show with the third type of debt that you might have. This is a kind of debt that Professor Warren calls splurge debts. Right away, we'll redo the self-test, so get out your pen and paper, and you'll answer some questions, true or false. If I really, really want something I can't afford, I just put it on the credit card or sign up for a payment plan, true or false. I really don't know how I ended up with so much debt, true or false. If I didn't have a credit card in my pocket, I would probably buy a lot less stuff, true or false. My credit card balance usually goes up at the holidays, true or false. I made a big purchase, example, vacation, new TV, furniture, for something that I really wanted and I'm still paying it off. True or false? It is harder to say no to someone I care about when I have a credit card in my wallet. True or false? And lastly, sometimes I charge things and then I think later, what could I have been thinking? I didn't need this. True or false? If you checked true for two or more of these statements, you have a problem with splurge charging. You struggle to control your spending on wants. We've tackled this already before when you created a plan for managing your wants spending. Now that you have a clear budget, all that remains is to get the debt paid off so you can get on with building some real savings. If you're still worried that you may slip back into splurging, then seriously consider cutting up those credit cards if you haven't already. For you, credit cards are not just the mechanism for creating your problem, they are the problem. The card offers a constant temptation to overspend and a needless complication in your plans to get control over your spending. Cutting up the cards, once and for all, may be the most important step you take to stay out of debt. In short, you may have discovered that debt isn't polite. It doesn't wait for one problem to pass before another piles on. You may struggle with out-of-balance borrowing and legacy debt, or you may be trying to cope with splurge debt from last month and legacy debt from a decade ago. That's all okay. Remember, the goal is to plug every hole in the boat before you sail off on your new financial plan. This is the moment to look at yourself in the mirror and say out loud, the debt stops here. Every morning tell yourself, I will not take on more debt today. It is vital that you feel this one in your bones. No more debt, no matter what. If this promise leaves you a little breathless, try a tactic recommended by Debtors Anonymous. Take it one day at a time. Don't worry about the next month or the next year or the rest of your life. Just think about today. You have a roof over your head, food in your cupboard, and clothes on your back. You have a spending plan that covers the things you need, gives you room for something extra, and lets you pay off your debt piece by piece. And so all you need to do is to make it through today without taking on any more debt. Over time, it gets easier. As your money comes into balance, the everyday stresses start to disappear. And as you stop the leaks and begin to pay down your debts, you will learn that you really are in control of your financial future. You don't need to be anxious. You are headed in the right direction, and you will start making good time. So now it's time to add it all up, to get a handle on exactly where you stand. So gather your bills and IOUs and pull out a pencil. Write down your steal from tomorrow debts we worked on before. So let's go through this. What you owe in steal from tomorrow debt, credit cards. You'll write down each credit card, the total that you owe on that credit card, and the minimum monthly payment on that credit card. The next area would be loans from family and friends. The total that you owe for each of those loans, and the minimum monthly payment. The third area is overdue or back payments on rent or mortgage, utilities, cell phone, car payment, etc. So you'll note each one of those items, the total that you owe, and the minimum monthly payment that you make on that loan. The next major category is medical bills. Again, write down each one, the total that you owe on each, and then the minimum monthly payment you make on each. And the last category would be basically the catch-all, other steal from tomorrow debts. You write each one of those down, the total that you owe on it, and then the minimum monthly payment that you make. And then you total it all up, coming up with the total that you owe on all of those categories and the minimum monthly payment you make on all of those categories. Then we'll take a look at the total amount that you owe. Does it seem like a big number? If you're accustomed to focusing on your monthly payments, then your total steal from tomorrow debt may surprise you. But don't panic. You can tackle this debt, and what you're learning here will help you find the way. And remember what was said way back when in an earlier show. It feels so unbelievably good when these debts are out of your life, which people have experienced by following All Your Worth program advice. Now, there can be some special circumstances. If you owe more than a year's income in steal from tomorrow debt, or if your minimum monthly payments claim significantly more than 20% of your income, then you may be in need of some financial CPR. That's an instruction we will be giving later on down the road for anyone whose debts are so high that there may not be a way to pay them all off. Financial CPR will show you how to manage your bills during a crisis, and it will help you decide if bankruptcy is in your best interest. But just keep listening, and we'll get to that eventually. But you need to know what your alternatives are in advance. And I'll come back in a moment with more on All Your Worth. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you're listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. We're at the point now where it is time to create your own personal repayment plan. The goal here is simple, to get your debt paid off really, really fast. Once again, I have to say this and emphasize it. Get your debt paid off as fast as you possibly can. We want you to get really serious about paying off your debt. Drain your savings account, empty your checking account, and sell any stocks or bonds. Liquidate all your accounts except your 401k or IRA. The tax penalties make this too expensive. Cash out the bar mitzvah money, crack open Mr. Piggy, and shake out the cushions from your couch. Keep about $1,000 to $1,500 in the bank and commit everything else to paying off your debts. And by the way, if you don't have $1,000 in the bank, we'll deal with that in later steps. But it's time to focus some laser beam intensity on paying off your debt. And that means putting everything you have toward becoming debt free. This probably sounds a little extreme. It is. But remember, there is no saving for the future when you are carrying a load of stealing from tomorrow debt. If you are in debt and you think your savings account will keep you safe, you are kidding yourself. You are installing smoke detectors in the hallway where there is a grease fire blazing in your kitchen. If you have steal from tomorrow debt, you already have an emergency. Put out the fire and get that debt paid off. You can hang the smoke detectors later. All you really have to do is consider the math. Your savings account probably earns 3% or even less nowadays interest, while your credit card debt costs you somewhere around 10 to 30%. That means for every $100 you keep in the savings account, you make $3 in interest, but you lose $10 to $30 on your credit card. That's why the bank has lots of money and you don't. You'll be many dollars ahead if you cash out the savings and pay off that credit card balance. Don't worry too much about the low bank balance. You'll start rebuilding it soon. You may be wondering, if you're supposed to throw everything into paying off your debt, why keep $1,000 in the bank? This is the start of your security fund, which you can use to cover any emergencies. This is the money that will keep you from sliding back into credit card traps when something goes wrong. If you need to dip into your security fund, be sure to replace the money as soon as possible. We've said it before and we'll say it again. Paying off your debt is the best thing you can do to build a secure future. Watching that credit card balance go down month after month is like watching yourself hit one home run after another. The satisfaction comes in proving that you can do it and knowing that you are headed toward a better future. There's nothing quite like it. Now, reviewing a little bit, remember how hard you've worked to get control over your spending on must-haves and wants? Now, you get to reap the rewards of all that effort. Thanks to your balanced money plan, you know exactly where the money to repay your debts will come from. No more throwing up your hands in despair because you'll never have the money to get out of debt. Since your must-haves and wants claim only 80% of your take-home pay, you have 20% left over for savings. This is the money you'll use to get rid of your debts. That's it, clean and simple. Just 20% of each and every paycheck for paying off your debts. No worry, no fighting with your mate, just a steady reduction in your debts every single month. The process is extremely simple. Every time you get paid, calculate 20% of your paycheck, multiply your paycheck by 0.2. Take that amount and put it towards your debts. Keep putting that 20% toward your debts every single month until steal from tomorrow debt is gone. One thing to consider is that you tackle your debts one at a time. The best way to get rid of them is to start by picking one debt and throwing everything at it until it's gone. Once the first debt is completely paid off, throw everything you have toward your second debt. In the meantime, keep making the bare minimum monthly payments on your other debts. Keep tackling your debts one at a time until they're all wiped out. When you pay off a debt, draw a big black line through it on your debt list. That's one monster you've kicked out of your living room for good, so treat yourself to a little celebration. Notice that every time you draw a black line through a particular debt, you've also crossed out a monthly payment. The amount that you save each month on minimum monthly payments will be plowed right back into paying off the other debts. As you pay off more and more debts, you free up more and more money to pay down the remainder. This works a little like riding a bicycle down a gentle hill. You need a hard push to get started, but the longer you roll downhill, the faster you will go. In terms of choice, pay the debts that bother you most. Of course, you'll say to yourself, what should you pay first? Whatever you want. It isn't quite that simple, but it's close. If you owe any back payments on your rent or mortgage, you have to pay those first. Keeping a roof over your head is always first priority. And if you owe back payments on your car or child support, pay those next. You don't want to lose the car or have the sheriff show up because you violated a support order. But once those are covered, it really is up to you whether Visa comes before MasterCard or vice versa, or any other unsecured debt that you have. So how do you decide? Well, as I said, pay the debt that bothers you most. If there's a bill that makes your blood boil every time it appears in the mail, if there's a debt that always seems to spark a quarrel with your mate, if there's an IOU that is keeping you away from family picnics because you're embarrassed about the $500 you borrowed from your mother-in-law, then pay that debt first. Would it feel good to get just one thing crossed off? If so, start by paying off the smallest debt. Does it make your stomach knot up when Gargantuan Bank dings you with another $35 over the limit fee? Then pay that debt first. In short, the point is to make your life happier and richer as fast as possible. So don't get caught up in comparing interest rates. Every debt you wipe out is a proud achievement that will make your future brighter. Which means that it just doesn't matter very much which debt you pay off first. So you might as well pay off the debt that will add a little bounce to your step at the same time that it improves your balance sheet. Next, we'll go into another important category. When should you borrow against your home? The absolute answer to that is never. You're hearing it all the time on commercials, advertisements. Tap into your home equity, consolidate your debt, lower your interest payments, and save money on taxes. The drive towards second mortgages and home equity lines of credit is practically a national fever. And if you are facing a mountain of debt, it can certainly sound tempting. Tapping into your equity sounds so sophisticated, like a new kind of Morse code or an elegant ballroom dance. But it should be called what it really is, going deeper into debt and putting your house at risk. There are lots of people, including a number of so-called financial experts, who will tell you that it's smart to cash out your home equity. Well, it isn't smart. In fact, it's dangerous, really, really dangerous, and we have in the last decade a whole lot of proof of that. Taking out a second mortgage to buy your house or to make a major renovation leaves you with something valuable at the end. But using home equity to pay off steal from tomorrow debt just trades one kind of stealing from tomorrow debt for another. Borrowing against your home to pay off other debt violates the first principle of debt-free living. You can't borrow your way out of debt, ever. That's the absolute rule. You can never borrow your way out of debt. The experts have touted home equity borrowing for so long now that it seems like heresy to say it's a bad idea. And after station identification, we'll look at some reasons why you shouldn't do it. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you're listening to Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. So let's look at three good reasons to steel your resolve to stay away from home equity loans. 1. Home equity loans put your home at risk. Tapping your home equity isn't tapping anything. It is taking on more debt, plain and simple. The only thing that makes a home equity loan any different from borrowing money from MasterCard or your cousin Judy is if you can't make all your payments, the lender can and will take away your home. This makes a home equity loan one of the most dangerous forms of debt in existence. Every time you borrow against your house, You are putting the place you live on the roulette wheel, betting that you will be able to come up with every single payment. Maybe everything will work out and you'll pay off the loan. But if anything goes wrong, anything at all, and you can't make the payments, then the bank takes your home and you're on the street. Of course, there are all those cheerful advertisements with smiling couples, never mentioning that you could lose your home. They don't show those couples on the day the sheriff comes to serve them with a notice of foreclosure and the auction day. If you think that doesn't happen to hardworking folks like you, you don't have to do more than just Google it and be reminded of everything that has happened in the last decade with home foreclosures. A very large percentage of subprime debt consolidation loans go into foreclosure. In other words, there are families who believed they were being clever when they tapped into their home equity. You wouldn't try to save a little money by taking a medicine that had a high percentage risk at giving you a heart attack, right? Treat home equity loans the same way. Just say no. The second reason is you probably won't save very much. The advertisements keep blaring that a home equity loan will save you money. But how much do you really save? Not as much as you might think. Taking a home equity loan to consolidate your debts is a lose-lose proposition. If you can get your debt paid off in a year or two anyway, the money you save on interest is pretty small, often less than the fees you paid just to set up the loan. And if you can't get the debt paid off within a couple of years, you'll keep paying interest on this loan year after year after year. In fact, many home equity loans last 15 years. Think about that. You could spend 15 years paying off that trip to the mall, 15 years of interest payments, 15 years before you become debt-free. That's not building a brighter future. If you can't pay off your credit card balance in 15 years, then you have big financial problems. And when you have big financial problems, the last thing you want to do is to put your home on the line. And there is one more catch. If you are already in financial trouble, you will probably be steered into a super high-cost second mortgage. Like the credit card companies that offer teaser rates to get you in the door, the mortgage companies offer good quotes in the ads and much worse quotes in reality, especially if you have less than perfect credit history. So using a home equity loan will just put your home at risk without saving you much money. You are a lot better off buckling down to pay off the credit cards while keeping the vultures away from your home. It just creates too much of a risk. Now, the third point is the only way to tap your home equity is to sell your home. You may be looking at your home and thinking, gee, we bought this place 6 years ago for $200,000 and now it is worth $300,000. But you'll say, just think what I could do with $100,000. And that's when solicitation for a home equity loan slides into the mailbox. It's inevitable. But your home equity isn't free money that is just lying around, waiting for you to tap it. It isn't cash in a savings account or money in your sock drawer. In reality, your home equity is more like the equity in your grandmother's jewelry. There it sits in your jewelry box, something you just hang on to and plan to pass down to your children. You realize it has some value, let's say $1,000 on the open market, but there is only one way you can have $1,000, sell the jewelry. Sell it or keep it, but tapping is just a fiction. Of course, you could pawn your grandmother's jewelry, which is like taking out a mortgage on it, but that just means you have borrowed money. You'd have to pay the money back with interest if you want to keep the jewelry. In short, there's no such thing as tapping your equity. If you want to make some money, you have to sell your house and move to a cheaper place. So don't get sucked in by all the fancy talk about putting your equity to work for you. You don't sit around worrying over how to make your grandmother's jewels work harder for you. Likewise, you should rest easy that you are putting your home equity to work exactly as should be. You're keeping a roof over your head. Okay, what if you already have a home equity loan? Well, with that second mortgage, the first obligation is, of course, to stay current on your second mortgage or your home equity loan the same way you keep up with your basic mortgage. Payments on your second mortgage should already be accounted for in your monthly must-have expenses, and you want to be 100% sure that you get it paid every month, no matter what. Once you've paid down your other Steal From Tomorrow debts, we will look at, in another show, a plan to help you pay off your mortgage. In your case, you should pay off the second mortgage first, since the mortgage has the higher interest rate. It may take a while, but paying off your home equity loan is a smart, safe move. It will lower your debt load and free up more money for other uses. And more important, it will make your home safer. Now we'll start another area, dirty tricks to watch out for, how not to get out of debt. When you get into financial trouble, life can be just like one of those bad horror movies. All that is missing is the creepy music. You know you're in danger with your debts, and then, miraculously, a stranger comes out of nowhere offering you a helping hand. Maybe the stranger calls on the phone, or maybe he shows up on an advertisement on late-night television or in your email. The message is always the same. I understand the danger and I can help. The stranger always seems like such a nice person. But if this were a real horror movie, the creepy music would start getting louder and scarier because this stranger is not your friend. When you get into debt, you become a target for some very, very nasty scams. You are worried, distracted, and anxious for help. The perfect mark. The helpers will pretend to look out for your best interests, but they are really looking out for their own profits. They wear different disguises, and we'll go over some of those. There are credit counseling companies, debt consolidation companies, credit repair and FICO repair companies, etc. All these are just some examples of the tricksters. So, credit counseling. If you are really stressed about your debts, credit counseling can sound so appealing. It evokes images of a helpful conversation with a wise, friendly ally. And your bills can get so confusing with shifting rates of interest and convoluted legal terms. It would feel so good to have an expert on your side, right? But the fact is, and it's a sad one, that credit counseling becomes an industry thick with slick operators who do little more than take your money and leave you deeper in a hole. Some of them may even try to talk you into paying your credit card bill, and thus your credit counselor, instead of your rent. When you have nothing left to pay to your counselors, they stop counseling and move on to the next sucker. There are some decent credit counselors out there, some good people who run upstanding outfits that really help people. But just like the horror movie with no creepy music, there is no easy way for you to separate the good guys from the bad ones until it is too late. But what about the not-for-profit or religious counseling agencies? Their ads make it sound like these outfits are run by the Boy Scouts with no other motive than to help others. Unfortunately, that just isn't so. Again, there are a lot of good organizations, but too many operations are run by crooks who have set up bogus nonprofit shells that funnel money to their owners. Worse yet, they are hiding behind a false identity, pretending to be charitable or religious, when they are secretly trying to steal from the good-hearted people who believe in them. And I will continue with this in the next show. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083, or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. May you enjoy and have a healthy and prosperous, debt-manageable life.